So when I do this podcast, I have to make a big decision, which is, I think you know what it is. It's the cutoff. Because if I live on Bayside of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And you live north side of Melbourne.
North side.
And we try to meet sort of midway in a studio.
Yeah, but we're really in north. We're in Fitzroy, which is north.
And I have a cutoff.
You've got a traffic cutoff.
I have a traffic cutoff. Mm. If I can't get here and get it done by 2, because normally we do it in the morning.
Yeah.
Go get burgers. And then that's a little treat that we look forward to. Then I have to drive home. But if I'm on the wrong side of town at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because the school traffic starts at like 3.
Yeah.
It will take
so me. If we go to 3:30, it's no good for you, is it?
Oh, it's just a giant big bag of clag.
Bedlam. But you know, today, though, is an RDO for the blue collar workers. So there's not much traffic today. I noticed because I drive my kids to school occasionally. Even though they go to public schools, they shouldn't be getting the bus. Anyway, I drive them to school and there was no traffic this morning.
I had to go do radio this morning. There was none. Oh, that's interesting. But do you have cutoffs on other things?
As a kid, I remember that when the phone would ring at like 9 o'clock at night, Dad would lose his mind.
That's the cutoff.
Who's ringing? Someone better have died. Yep. That's what he used to say.
Because you expect it to say Auntie Mary's died or something.
Yeah, and what about like my wife often asks you, can I text someone? It's 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's interesting.
I go texting. If it's a friend, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. 10's a bit late. 10, 10,
well, 10, 10's 10. A bit late, but if it's a friend, I reckon it's fine. If it's
Needs to be an important bit of information, though, wouldn't it? Or can it be a random thing? Hey, have a look at this funny meme I saw or whatever it
is. What about ringing someone? You rang me the other day and I was in bed.
That was during the day.
Yeah, it was during the day. But if you get a phone call before 9, do you like... So occasionally, like
if my phone rings and it's after 8:30
at night,
Selena thinks I'm having an affair.
Yeah, booty call.
Yeah, booty call.
But what about? Do you mind an early morning phone call? Do you mind a phone call before 9?
Yeah, that's true. I needed to ring you today or yesterday, whatever, and I had to wait because I was up early, and I had to wait. Going, I can't because I go. Okay, he's got up. He's driving the kids to school
before 9.
Before 9, no. Nah. So what about if I need to be – what? So airport. I mean, I don't think people drive people to the airport anymore, do they? Everyone just get a cab, don't they?
Yeah. Mum and Dad get driven to the airport by my brother.
So is there a cutoff there? Would you not – oh, we're flying in at 5:30 in the morning.
Nah, get a taxi.
No. What about – okay, we're flying out at – we've got to be there by 11 o'clock.
At night?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be okay for me because often I work nights, but, again, get a taxi.
Yeah.
Yeah, cutoffs are interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. But I think it's changed now. Definitely when we were kids, there were cutoffs.
What about ride home?
Oh.
So, will you go out of your way or will you only take them if it's on the way home?
No, I've gone out of my way before.
I go out of my way.
Oh.
Sometimes you meet someone at a pub and
it can be
annoying, though. You want to ride home and you realise you're going, you live where? You know, like 30K away? Half of you are thinking is it 10 minutes away.
The classic thing is for a comedian is you do a gig with someone, say in the country, and they say, can you drop me off? And they're not near where you live. And you're like, I suppose so. But by then it's 1 or midnight.
So it doesn't matter. And there's no traffic.
It doesn't matter so much. Yeah, it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah. So what's the cutoff with this show?
Yeah. What's this cutoff with this conversation? Oh, the music's coming.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Oh, wow. Welcome to the podcast.
Somehow Related.
Sam says our names. Let's just get the topics and get straight into it.
Bang.
Polygamy and civil war.
Ooh. So civil it's wars. Just any civil war. It's not the American Civil War. I think it's modern civil war.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lot of civil wars going on.
I don't think
what
they're referring to a civil war. What are the big civil wars? What are the big ones?
The American Civil War.
Vietnam.
Yeah, Vietnam you could say was a civil war. Ah, there's civil wars going on all around.
Northern Ireland?
Yes.
That went how long did that start?
Oh, years and years. Oh, years. Right. The Troubles.
The Troubles. Yes.
The Troubles.
Yes.
Jimmy, the Troubles.
I was in Northern Ireland with Jim Owen's dad.
And oh, really? He's Northern Irish?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And you just can't understand, right? And I said to the guy, short or please? And then he said to me, good Irish, short or.
Because I don't, that's the thing, the Northern Irish don't open their mouths.
Yes.
Whereas in Dublin, they open their mouths a bit more. They, you know, like in Cork and that, they do, they're a bit more And Belfast and they're all up in their mouths.
The idea is just you assume tell Jimmy it was
I'll
a joke.
I said to Jimmy, I'll fucking kill him, you know.
And I just wait for him to stop talking, then I'd laugh, thinking he was telling a joke.
Yeah.
And he's probably saying, and my brother died.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing now for? What would you be doing that for?
But I would say most civil wars happen in third world countries these days, like Somalia, Sudan.
Uprising of, yeah. Is it a class-based thing, you think? Well, the American Civil War was slavery, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a few factors.
The Yankees versus the Confederates?
Confederates, yeah.
Yes. What about, are there civil wars going on now?
Yeah, you bet.
Syrian?
Syria, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Colombian, is that still going? Oh, I don't know.
There's a lot in Africa, a lot of civil wars in Africa.
Yeah, a lot of civil unrest.
My brother Glenn, you know Glenn, yes. He lives in Switzerland.
Does he speak like that?
Yeah. He speaks like this because he's been in Switzerland.
I think we should get him on the phone one day.
We should get him on the phone. We should have got him on the phone. We should have got him on the phone for this one because he'd know all about this. Because, you know, he just came back from Madagascar. Yeah, and I saw no talking animals.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Has he got a sense of humor, your brother?
Yeah, but not in the family. There's four boys, and so there's me and Mark, who's the middle child. We're the funny ones, right? That's what Mum always says. Mum always says Mark was the really funny one. You know, he should be the comedian.
Do you feel...
And then Trevor and Glenn are quite serious.
A longing for your brother?
No, you know what? It's weird. That is a good question. I've been asked that before because he's my twin, but I say you only miss him when you're with him. Because then you realize the connection that you had. And then when he's gone, you know. I speak to him on the phone occasionally. I'm seeing him soon.
My brother had twins. He had two kids and then they thought they'd have one more and had twins on the last outing.
Oh, gosh.
Yep. And I had some other members of the family who shall remain nameless who were twins. And I used to hang out with them a fair bit. And one of them put a whole roll of sticky tape around his penis.
That's what twins do. It's quite common in the twin world.
I was going, is that normal? And then I stayed over at his place one time, over their place one time, and they were quite strict with me. And as I was putting my underpants on in the morning, he goes, it's really funny, he goes, I noticed you didn't tuck your singlet into your underpants. And I go, well, I don't do that. And he goes, you do when you're staying here. I'm going, really?
That's a very odd family.
And tuck it in and pull it out at the bottom. Yeah, okay.
It's very odd.
You do when you're staying here.
The Civil War, he said Madagascar was great.
Madagascar, obviously the place, not the
It's an
not
island
the
off Africa. Yeah, it's a huge island.
I'm thinking monkeys.
Yeah, there's monkeys there, and there's that very popular cartoon series called Madagascar. That's what he was talking about.
I realised that. So why did he like Madagascar?
Because it's got a bit of a French influence, and you can just walk around the capital and feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, there's all a lot of colourful. The architecture is really interesting. He said it's a really weird mixture of Asia and Africa and Europe. But
colour, I would imagine.
The colours are really vibrant and stuff. He said it's amazing. But so then he had to go to Mali, which is more sort of in the middle of Africa, and he said you can't walk around there at night. There's just no way.
Mm. What was he doing with you working there?
Yeah. He was doing the work for the, like, the water. He doesn't speak that. He's not like a condafura. He's doing work for the water charity, Water Aid.
Oh, that is the future.
Yeah, why doesn't he do something good with his time?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Lazy, what is it, selfish.
He should be a stockbroker.
Oh, he does occasionally do stuff. He goes, I do stuff for, you know, the bad guys too. World Bank. He's occasionally
Wars
for the World Bank.
Wars will be fought over water. That's the prediction.
So I know he's told me before that the Somalia and that there were civil wars.
How does the civil war start, though? Does it start because within a does it start?
It's often tribal. So you know, like in because he lived in Rwanda for a while too, with the Hutsis and the Tutsis. Anyway, they were like two tribes,
right?
And it's also like the Shiites and the Sunnis in Iraq. They're a different type of Muslim. Yeah. But in Rwanda, I'm speaking because my brother has told me this. In Rwanda. It's like the Serbs and the Croats too. They're like tribal. I mean, they're different races.
But they come. Is it a Are they just getting around going, are they in the streets going, I believe this, no, I believe this?
No, they often live in peace for a long time. And then
and then their beliefs come to the surface.
Yes, and something happens.
Hey, hang on a second.
And then you're suddenly shooting your neighbour.
Because he doesn't believe in a certain religion.
Yeah.
Or he doesn't believe in a certain law.
Or often it starts like in, in Africa, someone steals a whole lot of cattle or something like that.
So we hate you.
Yeah. And then a couple get shot. Then they go over and they go, hey, yeah, Gary, who's you stole my cattle? Nah, well, that's my cattle. It's got my brand. Bang, bang. Someone gets shot.
Then it escalates
into a war.
Then you have to pick sides. Yeah. Then you go, what are you? You a cow guy or a non-cow guy? I'm a non-cow guy. We're all non-cow guys around here.
And so with Rwanda, there were these two tribes that, and one was very dominant in the government, and then but the other one had more people, and so they just. They went, nah, stuff them. And they had a big war and this horrible, you know.
So what happened in Northern Ireland? They were Catholic and did the POMS send in some
Protestants? There were already some Protestants there.
So it's purely drawn on religious lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So therefore, just because I'm thinking about polygamy, there's religious beliefs. So there's.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like, we should have that or we should have that. And you're going.
Well, where does polygamy, polygamy for, for people who don't know, it's when you have
multiple wives or husbands.
I think there's a different name for. I think polygamy is just women.
For men.
Men
with a multitude of wives,
and
it can be because some
like Mormons. Everyone thinks of Mormons when you think of polygamy.
Hey, that's interesting. Polygamy, Mormons, Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
Ted Bundy. Was Ted Bundy not big in Salt Lake City?
Was Ted Bundy from Salt Lake City?
Did he not spend time in Salt Lake City?
Serial killer?
I don't know. Just that we spoke about Ted Bundy the other day on this program. Just thought, maybe there's no correlation whatsoever. But I think Ted Bundy hung around in his Volkswagen a fair bit in Salt Lake City. Not that that's got anything to do with being Mormon.
Yeah, right.
But Salt Lake City is the
Mormon capital. Salt Lake City, Mormons. But see, nowadays the Mormons say polygamy is not part of our religion and they're shunned.
But surely there'd be a sect within it that still would have a strong belief.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I've talked about the show Big Love before, which is it was on SBS, a great drama.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it was a HBO sort of thing.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah. It? And he had four wives. It was really interesting because they've obviously done their research and how, because the first wife gets involved with the choosing of the second wife. And then if they get a third wife, the first and the second get involved. Because they all have to live together.
What was that show that was really big on? They just came out with a new series with where they wear the funny hats like lampshades.
Yeah, Handmaid's Tale.
That's like the elite, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So the rich people have a wife, and but they have someone who can have babies.
Right.
So it's like having it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
was that? And what's that? It's not science fiction. What do they call that? It's kind of
the dystopian future.
Dystopian future. Right. Yes.
That's a great show.
Is it?
Oh. Haven't you not watched Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, I didn't. Didn't get into it that much.
Did your wife not want to watch it?
Yeah, the girls loved it.
Oh, it's so the girls scary. Loved it. It's like.
Yeah. And Dana Reed.
Dana Reed directed several episodes.
We
used to work with on Full Frontal. She was an actress. And actress, she became a director.
Director.
She directed one of the most amazing episodes where Peggy from Mad Men, or what's the name of the actor, Olsen, Elizabeth. Anyway, she's the main actress in Mad Men. She's the main actress in Handmaid's Tale. She delivers her baby, gives birth to her baby. It was just so well done. And I just thought, I bet you this is directed by a woman. Directed by Dana Reed.
Mm.
Incredible.
Anyway, that's interesting that you really liked it, because I didn't know many blokes who liked it.
Oh, I loved it.
It says a lot about you, actually.
I mean, Glenn, there's a lot of good ideas in that show.
You're reaching out.
For the future world.
There's a reality show too.
Oh, yes.
Just out.
Oh, about someone with several wives?
Yes. Yes. And I watched the other day, I think it might be on, it's on one of the streaming things.
And we've talked about Osama bin Laden before. So in the Muslim religion, in parts of their religion, you can have several wives. So Osama bin Laden had like six wives or something like that.
Like you say, though, but the first wife is usually the king of the roost.
The
queen of the roost.
Like Osama did, he would get younger and younger wives.
Yeah, and it gets into a really...
bit creepy.
Yeah, really.
A little bit creepy.
Beyond creepy.
A little bit creepy.
But I mean, Look, not, I don't in any way condone it, but even if it was, I couldn't.
Could you handle two wives?
I couldn't cope.
I told you. I think I've told this story before. When I was in Morocco, I got a taxi, and the guy, I started talking about the guy, and this was in the 80s.
Yeah.
So we had very little knowledge of
polygamy.
Yeah. And I started asking him about the religion, and I said, so do you have two wives? He goes, no, but my dad has two wives. And I said, what's that like? He goes, ah, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for him. He goes, they're in separate suburbs. They're in the same suburb, but they fought a lot, the two wives, so they had to move them. And now he just goes from one suburb to from one family to the next. He's like, he says he's in constant stress.
So does that mean that they're given what the it throws the ratio out? Does that mean there are a lot of men without wives? Or can
yes?
Could you can only be one wife to one man, but yes. You can be one husband to many women. So does that mean that men are disenchanted with the whole system because there aren't any wives left to have?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, yeah. And so there's a lot of idle men. A lot of idle men.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because you know, and you know, who can afford? Mate, who can afford several wives, mate? I'm going for one wife.
You've gone for a generic accent there, which I like.
For a generic accent.
Yeah, that's good. Just play it safe.
Two wives, mate. Three wives. Someone should. I'm sure someone does stand up about it.
But if you were a child of a family, you'd form like you've got your own little tribe. Okay.
Yeah, it would be. You know,
For a child, it would be
two mums.
You'd always have a lot of mums, and you always have a lot of brothers and sisters, and you'd always have. Because I have friends who have large families, and as soon as you walk through the door, you get this energy.
Yeah.
It just fills you up, and sure they fight a bit, and sure they yell a bit, but you go, I don't mind a bit of this.
It'd be good for the kid in some way.
Yeah.
But I when you read about Osama bin Laden and stuff. The father was never there or very distant because he had like 11 wives, I think, Osama bin Laden's dad.
So it's just
he just turns up and pats you on the head and, you know, gives you a lollipop and leaves probably.
Yeah. Osama.
Osama!
So we've talked about civil war.
Mm.
Is there anything else on polygamy that we can really say beyond? Because when you think, you know what I was thinking the other day? When you think of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
The Bachelor.
It's a bit polygamy. You're right.
It is.
It is, isn't it?
You know, because you think about that. Imagine you were a TV producer.
Yeah.
And I go, Dave, Glenn Robbins. You go, oh, yeah, I think I remember you. And I say, I used to be on the comedy company. You go, oh, yeah. I'd got an idea for a TV show. You go, oh, yeah, okay. Come on in. We'll have a coffee. And I say, I've got a show based on polygamy, but it's a competition of polygamy where a bloke has effectively, how many? 21 wives around him. Yeah. And they all want his attention. And what happens? Well, unless he says you're okay, he sends you off. You would not buy that as a TV show, would you?
No.
And then I come back and I go, now I'll do a female version. Mm. And you're going, it wouldn't work. It would not work. On paper, that is the most ridiculous idea that you've ever heard. I don't know how they got the first one up because the subsequent ones, people want the fame.
You know, my argument with The Bachelor is that the original Bachelor – was a very wealthy, successful guy.
So they chose a guy
who was like an incredible wealthy, not a prince. But
wasn't
or
there
like
a
that.
Show called Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire?
Yeah.
So was it a bit like that?
Yeah.
That's still,
but now my argument with The Bachelor is that they've just gone for good-looking guys who are basically unemployed.
Yeah.
So
who look nice and they go and those people join up for the program having not seen him.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense.
Oh, this guy works in marketing and rents a flat.
He likes indoor cricket.
What a catch.
Yeah.
Well, at least in the original Bachelor, this guy was like, wow, he's this very successful person. This guy looks good and runs a fitness app.
It's amazing the amount of D-grade celebrities we have now. We runneth over, don't we, from all those people. It's amazing how quickly their star falls, though. As soon as they go off the program, up until that point, you're watching every moment. Then you go and seriously do not
give up your day job.
Yep.
Don't give up your day job.
If you consider about going to one of those shows, I mean, think again because you'll be exploited to the – I don't need
Yeah, they got chewed and spat out. Chewed up and spat
out. You need
out.
Help with that sort of program.
Oh, it's like PTSD too because the producers will really manipulate you too.
And you'll be treated like a star. You go, you know what, you're being fantastic. That's really good. And whatever you need, makeup, hair, beautiful. Yeah. New outfits every day. Fantastic. And you know when you get angry? We love it when you get angry.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And then like a child at a party, the child learns that if it does a little trick, it gets a lolly.
Yeah.
So as a performer, you go, well, if people like that, I'll do it. And then they go, quietly, they're setting you up for peril.
And also, Married at First Sight was being the most recent example. They're choosing some people with some serious emotional problems and trauma in their past.
Yeah, I think.
And then putting them on TV just for entertainment, it's not right.
But having said that, it's voyeuristic. People can't stop watching.
People can't stop watching.
That's right. Oh, this person's not well. But doesn't make me stop watching. Yeah. So you go, okay. And, you know, you are interested. And then you throw in a bit of sex with that. And you're going, it's the perfect recipe. If you want to produce television, think of the worst thing you can think of.
Yeah.
I know, if you're a listener, think of the worst thing.
Okay.
There's a TV show in it.
Yeah, right.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know, it's not good.
What were you thinking about eating?
I tried to think of a dog getting killed or something like that, a dog getting run over.
Yep.
You know, someone's loving dog or your cat getting run over.
I thought...
Cat's getting killed tonight, 9 o'clock. Channel 9. I thought,
what do you call it? Eating people. What do you call that?
Cannibalism.
Cannibalism.
Yeah, that could be a show.
Yeah.
Guys, you're going to have to choose someone to eat tonight. Well, Gary's a bit fat. I thought we had an agreement.
Yeah, and you'd have to have the golden...
Here's a question for you.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
What reality show would you go on?
None of them.
None?
What
reality show have you been asked to go on?
What's a reality show? I know what a reality show is. Dancing with the Stars reality show.
Yes.
Right? It is.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I've been asked to go on that.
Have you been asked to go on that?
Yeah.
Well, I've told you the ones I've been asked to have mainly been fat related, like Celebrity Fat Camp.
What was it?
Celebrity Fat Camp. It was on Channel 9.
They did not do that.
Yeah, they did.
Went where?
Murph Hughes was on it. And Anthony Sambatico from the first series of Idol. They asked me to go on it where they went, and this was the pitch, go to a remote bush location with 8 other celebrities and you have to fight for your food.
How long did that stay on the...
No, it was one series.
No, meaning under consideration from you.
Oh, no. Just
bang, straight out the door.
Straight out the door.
What else is there? There's...
I got asked to go on Excess Baggage.
I got asked to go on The Jungle.
I'm a celebrity.
Yeah, you get asked to do that too.
Oh, no, they inquired about me, but yeah.
They would have loved to have you. You'd be great on that show.
Yeah, Pete went on that show. Peter Rosen, we just going to work in job. With. Yeah, and he loved it.
Yeah.
He said he really enjoyed just because you were just doing one thing. You know what I mean? Because you couldn't think about other things in your life because you were just there. There was no phones or anything. I don't think I'd like it.
Is there a reality show that you would go on? Would you go on, The Apprentice?
No, I've been asked about that before too, The Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah, I've been asked about that too. You know what? I just reckon, and I've been asked about a cooking one. You know what? If they did MasterChef, the comedians, I'd go on that.
Did they do MasterChef, the celebrities? They did.
Yeah,
Pete Rosen was on that too.
Yeah. Yeah, because cooking is something I can do reasonably. But you know what? I reckon with all these reality shows for comedians, like dance, it's not really playing to your strengths, isn't it?
But that's the idea of it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like that.
Having said that, I was on Dancing with the Stars once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I danced with Kath.
Oh, yeah, but that's just a promotion thing.
Do you know the story behind that?
No. Is that when Kath and Kim was on Channel 7?
Yes, and to promote the new series. And we had to do a little thing where she slides between I pick her up in the air.
Oh, like yeah,
that,
I remember that.
And she slid between my legs. What happened was my cummerbund came off.
Ooh.
She fell down onto my cummerbund, which meant she slid really hard through and slammed her head. If you watch it back on YouTube, you'll see her slam her head into the floor really hard. And you know what saved her?
What?
The Kath wig.
Wow.
So it would have knocked her.
Spongy curls.
Yeah, the spongy curls saved her.
Oh. The thing is, dancing's dangerous.
However badly they dance on that show, it's incredibly hard. And if you dance well, hats off to you. And some people take it. What I like is to see someone who doesn't have a natural ability actually overcoming that and doing quite well. And that's quite good. But
well, I've worked with two people on radio that Kate Langbrook did it.
Yep.
And Dicko did it.
Well, some people say it's the best week of their life. I can't imagine anything worse.
Hard work. Really hard work. Digo says you lose a lot of weight.
Yeah, it's a weight loss program.
All right. Well, I think we've covered it off. It's
polygamy and the Civil War.
Polygamy and Civil War.
Yeah. What would we want to hear?
Oh my God.
How about?
Yeah.
Could we hear the opening? Because the opening bit of the reality show that's about polygamy.
Oh yeah.
What it's called and what they do is they recap what's going on so far. So
oh, great.
You hear all the voices, you hear what the women are talking about, you hear
yeah, great.
So you'll hear it for about, it goes for about a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear a bit of that.
This season on Sister Wives.
I am asking Cody and my sister wives to come over so I can fill them in on the bed and breakfast.
Mom has wanted this house back in the family for years.
My loan was approved.
Oh my gosh, Mary!
So have you got the down payment money too?
No, that's what I need to talk to you about.
The money, we just don't have it.
I'm being very careful about holding it in right now because, like, part of me wants to just stand up and it's like, okay, fine. I don't need you guys.
I'm sorry.
I feel like there's just a lot we need to figure out. I mean, you don't feel comfortable with me around.
Sister-wife relationship is super tricky because you're trying to be best friends with a woman who has a relationship with your husband.
Wow. There you go. I don't know. It looks pretty good.
Does it make you want to watch it?
Yeah. Makes me want to get
well, you're a Big Love guy, so you probably
like
it.
I like Big Love.
Yeah. Which this has gone to reality. But I guess by calling it reality doesn't mean... So that's just their life. That doesn't mean they're going to vote
someone
else.
It's also illegal, though, in America. So I don't know how they get around that.
Yeah.
It's illegal to have, you know... I remember in, what was it, Kazakhstan or something like that, they wanted to put in that it's legal to have three wives, and one of the female parliamentarians said, yeah, no worries. Well, let's have it legal to have three husbands. And then the bill got knocked out.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, shall we get the answer?
We haven't had it. We haven't had a crack yet.
Oh my God, we haven't. What do you want to say?
I want to say that's got something to do with the American Civil War, and I reckon not only was it fought over slavery, I reckon initially polygamy was a lot stronger in certain parts of the US.
Ooh.
And that was part of the part of the underwrite, and it was over. It was thrown out after the what they signed the Declaration of.
Yeah, independence. Ooh,
something like that.
Something like that.
When they signed that was going, oh, by the way, no more polygamy.
You know what? I think you hit upon the answer when you said, when we talked about polygamy in countries where you said that there would be a shortage of women because these rich guys are taking all the women and getting five wives and whatever.
So
there's a lot of idle men just hanging around.
Going, hey, have you got a wife?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Neither have I.
Let's make war.
Let's have a meeting. Bring some signs. What else? We'll turn up and then we'll. Who will we get? The guys who got wives.
I know I've read this before, but when there's idle men, when there's men,
they turn angry.
Well, it's like Al Qaeda and stuff like that. They're all terrorist acts.
Not getting loving.
Mainly young single men who can't find a partner.
So what you're saying is there was an uprising.
Hey, Gary, you getting a root? Nah, I'm going to become a terrorist instead. Oh, yeah, pretty good idea.
Well, you want to join up? Well,
what about Sandra? Oh, yeah, I've got to tell Sandra. Maybe not.
So what you're saying is group of guys, unhappy, not getting any love.
Yeah.
Joined together and tried to overrun the people
something
who have
happens.
Had and then bit by bit it rises up. And the people with money probably had guns, and the guys who didn't probably... Anyway, so let's get the answer.
What's the answer, Sam?
Wherever polygamy is practiced, turmoil seems to follow. The 20 most fragile states are all somewhat or very polygamist. A London School of Economics study found a strong link between plural marriage and civil law. Where polygamy is practiced, it leaves the poor omen marginalized, and if part of the culture, significantly increases the bride price and creates sexual frustration. In desperation, single men may resort to extreme measures to secure a mate. Polygamy in general is retreating, but not everywhere. The proportion of Americans who consider polygamy to be morally acceptable rose from 5% in 2006 to 17% in 2017. And a 2008 bill in Kazakhstan's parliament to legalize polygamy failed after a female MP included an amendment stipulating that women must also be allowed to take multiple husbands.
It's amazing, isn't it, how it actually goes into war and they band together. You don't have to much. Well, I guess that's fair, very fair, because it's a class war as much as anything, isn't it?
Yeah,
not only
it
have you got all the money, you got all the women, so we're bad enough for this. And you're telling us what to do when you got all the cows.
And also, Osama would always choose the pretty young ones.
Right.
So I assume the women left are the older women and the, you know, it's not a – I don't want to say anything against, older women, but I think that for the younger guys, there's no women around.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, there's Sandra, but she's 45. You know, I want to have kids and stuff. Well, you know, too bad. So, yeah, they just get angry and just, you know, get involved in bad things.
And so those things would have happened before the internet.
Yes. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Maybe they need some apps out there in the third world. Maybe they need their own Tinder.
Because I guess they just get together down the shops. Where do they get together? When they're out,
I don't know if they have many shops, but they would just hang out somewhere.
If it happening sort of like an African, some sort.
Well,
of
if it's a Muslim country, they get together at the mosque, and if it's a Christian country, they probably meet at the church.
Because the blokes would be with the multi wives, they'd be turning up to the church with all the wives, and they'd be sitting in one part of the church.
Yeah, showing off.
And they'd be sitting up the back.
With all your mates going, fuck them.
I mean, you can only play so many games of indoor cricket. You can only go down the pub so many times. Sure, I enjoy going down the TAB for putting a bit of a
bet also,
on.
In some of those countries, when you get a wife, there's pressure on you to give cattle and stuff, and they don't have any. They've got no money. They've got no money to start a house or a family and start a business. So might as well join a terrorist organisation or start a war.
Yeah.
Tough world. It's a tough world we live in.
Tough world we live in. I just think that, one is enough. What's the ratio now? Marriages are even surviving now. What is it? It's got 50% chance it's going to end up in divorce?
Yeah. Yeah.
So even the single thing is falling over, let alone the multi thing.
Yeah. Well, people from our mum and dad's generation just stayed together because the women had no choice.
But that's interesting. So if you weren't getting on with, if you were a polygamist.
Yeah.
Could you divorce one of them?
Yeah, I think. Oh, that's a really good question. Should we ask Sam?
Yes, you can get divorced from one of several wives, but because polygamy is often not recognized by the state legally, the two people might not have been married in the first place.
Mm. Because if you're in a polygamist society, then you could probably pop over to one of the other.
Yeah.
Are you looking? Have you got any vacancies over here? Because I've been freed up.
Yeah. I think, oh man, it must be a weird world, the polygamous world. It must be very weird.
Oh, I don't think so. Each to their own. What? You knock on any door and walk through any house in the street, you're going to go, it's a bit weird.
I know. My mum used to say, why can't we be normal like the family down the street? And I go, that family. The one where the girl got pregnant when she was 15, guy was in juvie for a little bit, and that family.
Yeah.
They're not normal, mum.
We've all got our shadows.
We're not normal.
We've always got that dark vein running through every family, and we all have something going on. So therefore, do not sit and judge, and what we present to the world is not necessarily what we act. So that's the blessing for today.
Yes, thank you, Father Glenn.
Yeah.
When I did like live crosses on Adam Hill's Tonight Show, and I would go to some of his fans' houses, and they were always out of burbs.
Yeah.
And me and the writer, Marco, till we would go out, and every house was weird. Every house you walked into.
Okay, what's weird about your house?
I can tell
you what's weird about. Well, sometimes I answer the door with no underpants on.
Yeah.
Call back.
Put it this way. We went to one girl's house.
Yeah.
And she was 30. She was a doctor living at her parents' house.
Yeah.
And she had over 100 teddy bears.
Yeah, that's weird.
On shelves around the bedroom. And she had a little single bed.
Yeah. And she's a normal person that.
And she was
a doctor.
She was a doctor. And I said to her sister, she wasn't there. So she wasn't there. And her sister, I said to her sister, oh, so you're the doctor's sister, she's moved out?
Mm.
She goes, no, she lives here. And I go, she got a boyfriend? She goes, she got a fiancé. Mm. Does he stay over?
Mm.
Looking at this tiny single kitchen.
All those little bears with the eyes follow you around the room.
And she goes, yeah, she stays over. And I said, all right. So when they make love, she goes, that was pretty good. You can have something from the top shelf tonight.
Sorry, was that a joke and you were setting it up? Was that a real joke?
No, that's a true story.
Oh, that's a true story. Sorry. I thought, here I am.
I think it's an old joke, but I put it
into. Oh, that's a really good joke. That was a very good bit of love making. You can have something from the top shelf.
So what's weird about your house?
Oh, that's a good question.
I've been to your house. Your house is like a beach house.
Yeah, it is.
And so I don't know if that's weird. But it is quite...
Well, apparently the music I play is a bit weird.
Oh, yeah, you got that mambo jambo. Well, you've been to my house. What's weird about my house? We've got a lot of stuff.
You've got... Your house is... There's a lot of things going on in there.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way.
Yeah.
I'm not mentioning the word hoarder.
Hoarder, hoarding. Yeah. Bit of hoarding going
on. No, I don't reckon it's a hoarder, because if you're a hoarder, you can't get through.
Oh, it's not extreme hoarders.
You can't get down the main passageway when you've got a hoarder.
Yeah, there's newspapers piled up.
Yeah.
No, I draw the line there.
No, hoarder. No, but you're a more Marie Kondo sort of house where, you know, I'd like to come around and give it a blessing, get down on my knees and bless the house, and I'd pull out all your old underpants.
Does this give you joy? Glenn, that's one of my children.
I reckon they went through my underpants for that after she had, Maria would come around and go, Maria, I can't decide. She'd go, does it give you joy? In these underpants with holes in them. And
yes.
Yeah. And I go, yes, they do. I quite like them. And she'd go, ooh.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.